I discovered that the U.S. Navy is using passive radar to track all of those millions and millions of objects that are orbiting our planet using a form of passive radar.
Sure.
In fact, in my paper, which I wrote for the MUFON proceedings of the symposium that was held in Denver a week ago, I address the U.S. Navy Naval Space Surveillance System. It is referred to in the trade as the fence. It's a facility that we hear about relatively infrequently, certainly much less frequently than we hear about the BMUSE line up in the northern reaches of Canada, the ballistic missile early warning system that was designed to protect us from intruding missiles from the other side of the planet.
Peter, do you think the fence is using passive radar?
Absolutely.
In other words, all these electronic signals bounced, their frequencies are known, and all the rest of it. And as long as you have that information and enough computer power, then something like the fence works. And
yes,
they can literally watch through this soup of noise that's thrown up, and they can watch these objects pass through the fence.
Absolutely. And the reason that I believe the U.S. government knows about the UFO phenomenon is, one, several of their employees once told me they did, but even more important than that is because of the fence. I'd like to take just a minute to describe for our listeners what the fence is. It is a series of transmitters that are located along a straight line along the southern tier of the United States, positioned on a straight line, more or less, that stretches from San Diego east to Fort Stewart, Georgia. There are three transmitters along that line, and those transmitters broadcast a signal straight up using what is known as a phased array antenna. So all of that radio energy is concentrated in a very, very narrow window of space. And the value of that is that whenever a satellite or any kind of space debris flies through that narrow fan of broadcast electromagnetic radiation, the object will reflect that signal back down to ground.
In essence, that's active radar.
It is. The distinction between active and passive is sort of blurry, as you suggest, Art.
Yeah.
But in this case, it is a bistatic or multistatic radar in the sense that the transmitters and receivers are not necessarily located at the same location. They're in different locations, and there are multiple receivers that detect the reflected signal from a single reflection point in orbit. And what the Navy does with this facility, essentially, is keep track of everything that orbits the planet. Satellites, astronauts' gloves, you name it, they can detect it. And the signal that they broadcast is so strong, and presumably their receivers so sensitive, that it is reputed that the Navy can detect a target approximately the size of a grapefruit that is out a distance of 15,000 nautical miles above the surface of the planet Earth. In other words, they can detect an object the size of a grapefruit at a distance equal to 2 times the diameter of the planet Earth. So you know this is a very effective system. And the Navy has to do that because we cannot afford to allow somebody to slip something in to American airspace. It could be a piece of discarded space debris, but then again, it could be some kind of grievous weapon that we don't want penetrating our airspace. So the Navy has been using this system for at least 30 years that I can account for. It may go back even 4 decades, and it is what tells me that the U.S. government, if these things that we call UFOs are real, these things that you and I have been talking about, with countless witnesses now for nine and almost a decade, if the government knows that they are real, it is because they have hardware like the fence that allows them to detect these objects on a regular basis.
So they have to know. They have to know. That's all there is to it. They have to know.
Of course. In fact, about 5 years ago, I called the command center for the U.S. Navy fence. This was one of the most amusing telephone conversations I've had in a decade, Art.
How so?
I called them up. I identified them myself, told them who I was, which I always do. I don't act in a stealth mode, if you will. Called them up and talked to the switchboard, and the very nice young woman said, "This is the U.S. Navy facility in Virginia that controls the fence." Told them what I wanted to do, told them I wanted to talk to one of their technical sorts, an engineer preferably. I got a young woman on the line. She was, I believe, a lieutenant commander. I explained who I was, what I was seeking, and I wanted confirmation as to what they were detecting with the fence. And you can imagine her reaction. Here it is, a top-secret facility. A half-baked UFO investigator is calling from Seattle,
yes,
for all intents and purposes, inquiring whether they are picking up UFOs with their facility.
Why not? I mean, you just never know. Why not pick up the phone and give it a shot?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just that type of person. I've done the same thing with the Air Force, and I take the position that these people are our public servants.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not so naive as to assume that they're going to give me any information. After all, it could cost them their jobs, it could cost them their freedom. They have taken security oaths, secrecy oaths. They cannot reveal any of this information.
So how did the call go?
It was short. It was very short.
Yes.
She said, "Mr. Davenport, I appreciate your call, but," she said, "I am very uncomfortable even just being on the telephone with you, no matter what we talk about." And she said, "I am going to have to terminate this conversation right now." And she did. And she just hung up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
That conversation didn't last more than 20 or 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And what she was telling me, for all intents and purposes, is that they probably are detecting these things we call UFOs, because if they were not, why would they be hesitant to talk to an American citizen?